share my story and to encourage someone out there, and also to show what God did in my life. So I'm just, I could tell myself that I am the Lord's doing as a package. And I would like to crave your indulgence here, though. I might not really be as eloquent as Pastor Vic, and not as theologically versed as the people that have been here before, but I believe the Holy Spirit will help me, and will speak through me, and will use me this morning. And so I'm going to start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us together as a family before you. Thank you, Lord, for walking through our lives. And thank you, Lord, for allowing me even to be here today, for the journey you've taken me through. And thank you because today you help me, you enable me to share your word with this congregation, and that your power will flow out and mend and heal hearts and give hope to those that are looking towards you for hope. Thank you, Father, because I know you will speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen. I know Mr. Sean will be used to this. Back in Nigeria, whenever someone takes up to the stage, there is always this word just to ensure the congregation is actually following. At times you could hear, praise the Lord, hallelujah. But I know it's not the culture in North America, so I'm not going to do that. Amen. All right. So I will be starting on this part. The anchor scripture for today will be taken from the books of Mark, chapter 5, verse 18 to 20. Mark, chapter 5, verse 18 to 20. And I'm going to read from what I have here on my script. And I think we're all familiar with this story. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who has been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your home people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus has done for him. And all the people were amazed. And so I'm here this morning to do the same thing that Jesus told that madman, to go about and share the good news, and to encourage those people that will hear his story to know what God has done in his life. So I have a little bit of story typed out here. I would love you to follow me. From time to time, I'll be reading through my script. And of course, I'll be looking into your face as well. As much as I can, follow my script. Okay. So I'll start from my early days. I was born around the mid-80s. I would leave you to guess. That's your assignment. It's going to take 70% of the grading at the end of the sermon. So, in a little town called Ile-Ife. Ile-Ife is an Asian city. It's in the southwestern part of Nigeria. And I did not meet my dad until I was 3 years old. And that was because he was in America studying. He came back, and I think I was really overjoyed that I could show my friends that I had a father too. But then it happened that I had to leave for the big city. That was because of job prospect. Ile-Ife was actually a very small city, and Lagos is actually the commercial hub of Nigeria. A lot of people leave to Lagos to find jobs. So my dad left almost as soon as he arrived back in the country for Lagos. I wouldn't know what happened, but all I can remember was that the last Saturday of every month was when my dad would show up, and the next day, it would be gone. My young mind became very conditioned to seeing him as a visitor whose presence was just a temporary delight. Along the line, my family grew. I was actually the firstborn. I had two other siblings, my brother and my sister. They reside in Nigeria right now, though my sister will be immigrating to Canada in the next 1 month. She'll be arriving in Canada in one month's time. So along the line, my mother had to step in to play the role of being the father and the mother. And I must tell you, it was tough on her side. My father on his part never repented from being the sad end of the month, the last Saturday of the month visitor. And that made up my entire childhood up to my teenage years. It was never around. And then it progressed, not on a good side, on an even more terrible side. My relationship with my dad became so sore. I wouldn't really know what happened, because each time I tried to reflect, I tried to think back, and just to see what I did wrong, or what really transpired that might have actually led to the soreness between my dad and myself. I still can't really fathom it up to now. At that point in time, I was having difficulty at school as well. I wasn't doing so well as I used to do. A lot of things went down south for me. It was a living hell for me. And instead of getting helped, I was continuously subjected to emotional abuse, mostly by my dad. And it would always publicly shame me, and even to the extent of raining curses on me. I'm sorry, I'm getting all emotional. I started having emotional trauma from an early age. And each time I saw my dad, my heart would literally skip beats. Like, I started experiencing things with my heartbeat at a very, very tender age. And I would be blamed for things I never did. And I would be punished for the most silliest things. Of course, I was quite adventurous, but who wasn't adventurous when they were growing up? But I was literally blamed for learning to grow. But despite all of this, I am very grateful to God for my mother. I know a lot of you have met her. So she was always there for me. She defended me. She helped me. I'm sorry. I'll just take a moment. And she never stopped believing in me. She never did that. She did all she could to ensure that I had the right education. I had the strength to carry on each day. My siblings were doing very much better than I did. And so there was actually a clear separation between me and them. Of course, they showed me love. But then my father made it clear that I was actually like the black sheep of the family. It was very, very glaring. But you know one thing? My mother being there reminded me of something. And it was from the book of Genesis, chapter 1. So from each time, I'll be stopping a little bit to reflect on one part of the scripture that tells a little bit about my story. So Genesis chapter 1 was when God, the Spirit of God, was hovering over the earth. Despite the fact that it was hovering, the earth was so dark and chaotic. But then the Holy Spirit of God was moving. And then it said, let there be light, and there was light. And then it separated the day from the night. The big light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. You know, in life, there won't always be the bright side. It's just natural. God would have actually taken away the darkness when he said, let there be light. There would have been no reason for the dark. But in his uttermost, like in his wisdom, he created the dark. So it was my darkest time in life. But then, like the lesser light were there to ensure that there was light in the night, my mother represented the lesser light in the dark phase of my life. So I would say, if you're going through a dark phase, you will have those speck of light. I know it might be from the community you have around you. It might be from the little support you get from people around you or even your friends, but there will always be a speck of light, and that speck of light will be there to help you, to guide you until the bright part of your day comes. And that was exactly what my mother was when I was growing up. So my mother raised us independently from my meager pay as a teacher. She was an high school teacher. It's the other way in Nigeria. I know teachers get a lot of respect here, but it's the least of the profession you would actually venture to go out for in Nigeria. Teachers don't get paid as other professions. There's a great disparity between, those in other professions and being a teacher. And also, they don't get paid on time. Like, they could be owed as much as 3 months' salary. Now imagine, my mother, her husband is not there. She would have to take care of us. She would have to pay her fees. So a number of times, she would have to sell all her belongings. A number of times, she would have to go to get loans just to ensure that we have enough on our table and also to send us to school. She tried to do that. She sent us to, like, one of the best schools around in that small community as much as she could afford. So despite all odds against us, we thrived. It was tough. But then God really helped us. We were living from hand to mouth. And despite the fact that my father eventually got a job, he became a manager of a bank in Lagos, but it was not just responsible to his family. So with the help of God, I caught up with my studies. I knew I was not rich and relatively disadvantaged. So I gave my all to my studies, as I reckoned that education was my only ticket. I finished, I would say, because I was so dedicated and I was so, how do I put it, I was just so dedicated to my studies. I finished with some good grades. That was at a university. And one thing is that when you finish with good grades, you have the opportunity to go back to your alma mater to get a teaching position. So that's one thing in Nigeria. If you finish with good grades and you're part of those excellent students, you have the opportunity to go back. And I had that as one of my plans, to be able to go back and at least I'll be able to get a job, because it's so tough in Nigeria if you don't have the connection, if you don't know people at the high places, you might not really get what you like, a job. So my education was my ticket. So after I finished my studies, there is this, in Nigeria, we have, it's a scheme, it's a youth scheme. It's called the National Youth Service Scheme. It's not that we're trained to be soldiers, no. What we're trained to, because Nigeria is a big place, and we have diverse people, different ethnic tribes. I'm from the southern west, so the federal government actually has a scheme that posts university graduates to different parts of the country to experience other culture, and also to be able to discharge a sense of to carry out a role pertaining to what they study while in the university. So I studied forestry. Okay, there is one more thing I need to tell you. In Nigeria, a lot of us don't study what we really aspire to become. It's so tough to get into the university. It's so tough. And at times, all you have to do, whatever your high grade, we have this joint, it's a board exam. So whatever you score will determine what you will study. So a number of us find ourselves studying things that we never even knew about, that was not even in our agenda in life or probably in our dreams. I studied forestry. It was the first time I ever heard of such a course in my life. And I went into study forestry and wood technology. That was the course I pursued. So after I graduated, after 5 years of graduating, I was posted to the northern part. It was almost the northern part, the northwestern part of Nigeria. And that was where I studied for a space of a year. I was posted to the Ministry of Environment and Water Resources. And while I was there, I already made up my mind that I was going to go back to school and enroll for a graduate program, a master's. I was saving all the money because they would usually pay us like some stipends. So I was saving all the money I had so that I'll be able to put something for my school fees. And so I'll be able to go back to school. And with that, I might be able to get a teaching job at a university. So I saved all I could. And unfortunately, after 12 months, when I returned back home, and I was on my way because I already enrolled for the master's program. I already got the admissions. They even gave me double admission. But then I went back home, and there was one part I missed. My mom already told me that she would help me in a little way, or whatever I am able to save, she would compliment and help me to go back to school. But when I got home, unfortunately, what I had was just sufficient to pay for my acceptance fee. And at that point in time, my younger sister was about going into the university as well. She was going to start a pharmacy, and it was quite expensive. And I didn't know what to do because that was my plan. That was my dream. I didn't know what else to do. Even the money I came back home with, I had to give it to my sister so she could go to school to add up to whatever my mom was going to help her with. And so my dream became dashed. I tagged it dream shattered. And for a good 6 months, I was lost because I didn't know what else to think of. Like, I couldn't get a job. There was nothing I could do. I went back to my alma mater thinking someone would be able to help me. Perhaps I could get a scholarship. Nothing worked. The people that knew, I got inspired to go back to school because I wanted to go back to school, already started the master's program. And here I couldn't start anything. It was so shameful for me. I returned home, and I was like just redundant for 6 months, doing nothing. And from this point, I'm going to go to the point where I have the top subtopic, my rebirth testimony. This is the journey to my rebirth testimony. And I hope I'm not boring you. Okay. All right. Thank you. You know, my wife was a little bit scared when Pastor Vic told me that I would be sharing my story. She was like, "What are you going to tell them?" And I was like, "Well, I'll leave myself into the hand of the Holy Spirit. And I know people here are very friendly. I will be in safe hands. And I see that in you. You are all smiling. Thank you for that." So my rebirth testimony began in 2010. When I left home to find myself. After 6 months, I was able to come by some little money. My mom helped me. She went to get a loan. I ventured out of my comfort zone. I applied to a different school this time around for a graduate study. So instead of forestry, I wanted to go in for environmental management, something that I kind of fell in love with when I was in school. And so, not at my alma mater, it was a different school entirely. So my mom came by some money, and I had to leave home. At that point in time, the school had not resumed, but I made up my mind that I would go to that city. I just wanted to be away and start up my life. So in 2010, I left home to find myself. I arrived in a city called Abeokuta. Abeokuta is just some few kilometers away from Lagos. And if you remember, Lagos is the commercial hub city in Nigeria, and Abeokuta is just some few kilometers away from Lagos. I had nothing on me, but just my bag, my credentials, and a few belongings. And bearing in mind that I was not certain of where I would live or what I would do to survive each day. So I have a part, a lesson here. Most times, we do not know how God uses situations to navigate us along his path for us. But often, when everything clears out, then we're able to see it all as the hands of God. Through the help of a family friend, my mom's friend, I came across a pastor in the city of Abeokuta who took me into his home. That reminded me of Abraham, who took strangers to his home and fed them. I started living with this man who knew nothing about me from Adam. He took me in, and I started living with his family. But then, I have this pride. I wouldn't want to like be a burden to the man. I started making my own plans. The little phone that I had on me, I used it. I started looking for a particular, I started looking around to get a rented place. I eventually got a place and moved as fast as I could. There wasn't so much on me, and when I moved to the new place, I had to make a bed out of my teak towel, because I didn't have a bed. It was my towel that I slept on. And also, I had no chair, I had nothing. It was just a piece of linoleum, a half yard of linoleum that I spread on the ground. It was my comfort space for that point in time. And then I got a part-time position as a teacher. I was teaching some high school students, but the pay was nothing to live on. It was nothing to live on. But I had to make do with what I had. However, despite all of this, I still held on to those dreams I've had all along. I never gave up on life. I had dreams. My good times was when I was in a university. I had dreams in all those years. So I kept a fragment of the dream. But one thing is that I was born a Christian. Of course, my mom would take us to church. But I never really had any understanding about what Christianity was all about. I had questions. Nobody could answer my questions. My mom would always take us to church on Sundays. I knew we would go to church. I knew we would go to Bible study. But nothing made sense to me. And nobody would actually was there to explain things to me. And so that's just a part of me having an understanding of God. I'm almost there. I'll be telling you about that soon. When I was living at this rented apartment, I had no food other than Gary. I wouldn't know if Brother Sean will remember what Gary is. It's cassava flakes. Cassava flakes. It's fermented cassava flakes. It's roasted. So it's granulated. So that was exactly what I could afford. And that was my breakfast, my dinner, my lunch. And that was what I lived on until my mom got over here and she reached out to her friend. And my mom's friend kind of intervened. She ordered me to go back to the pastor's place, where I left before. She was like, go back there. And I went back there because I was literally dying of not eating. And however, something extraordinary happened at that house, the place I rented. I lived there for just a week. Something extraordinary happened. I came across a man of God, a pastor. I never knew he was a pastor, but I would always exchange pleasantries with him because he was like the only educated like co-tenant in the house. So we were friends. I mean, we're not really friends, but I would always exchange pleasantries with him. So there was once I was returning home from my walkabout. And when I ran into this pastor, this neighbor of mine, we greeted and he asked me to accompany him to check someone just across the road. We got to that place and I stood outside out of courtesy to ensure some privacy between my neighbor and the person he wanted to meet with. Then all of a sudden, this woman who was actually speaking with my neighbor looked towards me. I was outside. I gave them all the privacy. Then she looked towards me and she said, "Hello, young man. I know you don't know me, but may I ask you a question? What are you doing for God?" I was like, "What are you doing for God?" Like, okay, I used to be part of the choir a long time ago. That's all I can remember. But I couldn't really fathom my head around the reason why she would ask me what I was doing for God. And then she gave me the breakdown of my life. She gave me the whole story of how I got to Abeokuta. She never knew me from Adam. And she told me God has a lot of plans for me. And she told me that I have to be useful in God's hand. And at that very point in time when I heard all of those, she told me my story, sincerely. Things that I never shared with, not even my neighbor. She told me everything. And I believe it was actually the Holy Spirit that spoke prophetically through her. That very hour, my heart sank. I broke down completely. And that was when I made up my mind to follow Christ. That instance was a turning point for me. I gave up on everything. I gave up on life. And I told myself, I've always been telling myself that I will yield my life to God one day. Why not today? I'm not making headways. Perhaps God will help me to make headways in life. And that was how my rebirth story began. And that was how I gave my life to Christ. I followed my friend to his office. He actually was pioneering his ministry. I followed him to his office. He prayed with me. I had to share my story with him because he was no longer hiding. He knew my story. And he started teaching me, started engaging in Bible studies. All the questions I've had all along in my life, he was able to provide me answers. And it was, I can say that it was God at work. It was God that ordered my feet to rent in an apartment that I stayed for just a week. It was just to meet that man. It was his work. It wasn't just my thoughts or what I wanted to do, but it was because he wanted to turn my life around. All right, I'll proceed. So those years were mighty blessings to me. I learned and I grew in grace. I learned the act of praying and spending time in the presence of God. And the fire that was kindled by those years of growing up in grace, is still burning today. And then I'll move to the next part. I hope I'm not taking your time. I'll move to the next part. It's tagged the supernatural event that cemented my faith. So I'm going to tell you about two instances. So after I gave my life to Christ, and after I got all the answers that I wanted, the pastor who eventually became my friend, he became my very good friend. We started praying, and I started understanding the impact of prayer and what God can do. I know it's not a common act here, but in Nigeria, we do engage in night prayers. We do engage in vigils. Like, we spend all night praying, seeking the face of God. It taught me that act. And that was, I started doing that because I realized that I could concentrate more in the night. There was no distraction. I still do it up to now, though. At times I get lazy. But then I started asking questions. I started bringing my case to God. What do you plan for me? I don't want to do things in my own understanding again. I have failed several times. I've tried several things, and I've always been a failure. I just want you to help me. I want to know what you have in plan for my life. That was exactly my prayer in those years. I had no other prayer. And I know it's not also so much common here as well. But back home, we believe in the power of the prophetic. It's one of the gifts in the church. It's one of the gifts in the church. Along the line, while we were praying, a prophetic message came for me. At that point in time, it sounded like crazy. And the word was, start planting trees. Start planting trees. Planting trees. Of course, I studied forestry, right? It wasn't what I wanted to study. It made no sense to me. Because I have this book that I write prophecies or things that has to do with my life. I didn't take so much of it, but then I held on to that thing. And at that point in time, I already started my graduate program. And then I also was supposed to go to this. As a student, I actually was part of this International Forestry Student Association. And that gives us the opportunity to take part in international conferences. So I'd always applied in the past to such conferences, but I never had the opportunity. I never really won any of those. I didn't even have the money to purchase a ticket or even go get a visa. It's hard to get, Canadian passport gets you everywhere, but a Nigerian passport gets you nowhere. You have to go to an embassy. They have to check your financial status. They have to check your economic stability and a number of things. I never ventured out of my comfort zone to go pursue such things. But then there was this particular program. It was the United Nations program in South Africa in Durban. And I just applied. I felt like, let's do this. This is in Africa. This could be my chance. And I never took so much like cognizance of this until one day. Now, this is the worst supernatural event took place. I went on evangelism with a kid, a young boy of 11 years old. This is just 11 years old. Went on evangelism, and we were returning from the evangelism. All of a sudden, this young boy stood in the middle of the road. We were walking together, and all of a sudden, he stood back. And I was like, I didn't even notice it wasn't coming with me. I looked back, and I found this boy. I was like, what is wrong with you? Why are you not coming? He didn't answer me. He didn't respond. And then all of a sudden, he came back. He came back to himself. Then it was like, back home, they call me Dele. Dele is what they call me. My full name is Bami Dele. I know it's comfortable. Bami is what I use here. But back home, it's Dele. And it was like, Uncle Dele, I'm sorry, but God was speaking to me about you. God was speaking to you. Tell me, what is it? And it was like, there is a trip you're going for. I didn't tell him I was going on a trip. And it was like, God said he's taking you on a trip. And when you go on that trip, he's going to show you a lot of things. And it's going to help you to understand a number of things that does not make any sense to you right now. And that was, because I never shared anything with him. Then I took the trip more serious when I heard those. I started praying. I didn't have the money. I started praying. I started walking towards it because God has said something about it, and I took it very serious. And it was a week to my departure. It was supposed to be a group of students. I was the only one from Sub-Saharan Africa. The others were coming from Europe. They already got where they will leave. They already got their tickets. Of course, they didn't need visas. I needed visa, and needed a number of other stuffs. Then there was nothing. And then my friend, the pastor who became my friend, said, okay, we're going to go do a vigil. We're going to pray all night again. And then after we prayed and God gave us a word. He said he was going to do it. He said he was going to make a way. I didn't know how God was. That was the first time I ever experienced a supernatural event. The next day, I got a call from my mom. And she was like, you told me you were going on a trip. And I told you initially that I can't make up the money. Because she was actually trying to look for a loan for me to purchase my ticket and even my visa. And she said she was embarrassed the other time when she went to get a loan and she won't be able to go there again. But she said, this morning, they called me out of the blue. A place they shamed me and they were like, please, can you come? We would love to give you that loan. I can't really explain what happened at that instant. She got the money across to me, just some 2 days to my trip. I got my visa. I didn't have a place to live. On that very day, my professor from my alma mater called me out of the blue. Hey, I heard you are going for a trip in South Africa. Do you have a place you're going to live? I said, no. Can you look for an hotel space for me? I'm going there as well. I said, okay, so I'll do that. I couldn't find a place, then he called me back. Don't worry about it. Someone already got me an accommodation. And don't worry about where to live. You're going to stay with me. That is exactly what happened. And this is no exaggeration. It happened. Some 2 days ago, I had nowhere to live. I had no money to purchase the ticket. And just a day before I left, I had everything I needed. The next day, I was on my way to the airport. My heart was like literally in my mouth because I was like, is this how God works? It showed me that very supernatural event. And one of those things that cemented my faith in Christ is one of those events. Then I'm in South Africa. What God said, and before I left, he told me that I was going to meet two people, one on the plane at my departure and the other on my return legs. I met those people. And those two people became strategic in the work and in my environmental work when I got back home. So when I got to South Africa, I experienced a number of things. Everything they said I was going to experience, I experienced. I came back home. I started my nonprofit. And it wasn't just about planting trees. It was about environmental stewardship. I started educating people about taking care of the environment. I had a number of volunteers. I started my nonprofit organization. It was essentially what I did since 2011 before I came here. That was actually what kept me busy. And I'm going to be very fast because I know I'm running out of time. And then another one happened, and this is where I will tell you, whatever little you have in your hand, whatever God has committed into you, whatever doesn't make any sense to you right now, don't discard of it. I didn't know forestry was going to be something that God was going to use. It was so minute in my envisioning, but God turned it around. With this, he made me to dine with kings and queens. It sounded so ridiculous, but there was once the wife of the governor of the state where I was living in Nigeria. The wife of the governor actually has an office, not just the governor alone. So in Nigeria, the wife of the governor is ruling the state just like the governor. I went to a conference, and the wife of the governor was seated there. I asked a question. And when I asked this question, the whole conference kept quiet. It was so silent, it was like a graveyard. Then the wife of the governor, then the moderator was like, "Oh, Your Excellency, ma'am, you have to provide answers to this question." And the woman stood up and she was like, "You are that person I've been looking for. Where have you been?" I couldn't even listen to what she was saying at the end of the day because I was literally like just floating in space. And do you know what? Like, everyone I never knew, everyone that didn't know I was there because I was actually the youngest one there, came over to me after the woman said, "Oh, you're the one I've been looking for." They started giving me their contact. "Oh, this. And what was I doing? I was just doing what God said I should do. And then she said, "I'm going to give you a privilege to speak to the state. I'm launching a program for youth. It's called Green Empowerment for Youth. And I'm giving you the platform to coordinate the program for me and to speak to the state, to the youth." And then it was actually on the 27th of May. 27th of May is the Children's Day celebration in Nigeria. It was held at a stadium. The governor was there. The House of Assembly, the members of the House of Assembly, they were all there. Everyone that mattered in the society was there. And then all of a sudden, the moderator called my name. It was televised live. Everyone in the whole state was viewing. And it was like, "I'll have the privilege to invite Bamidele Oni to take the stage." He is actually the founder of Green Impact International, to take the stage and speak to us and launch this program on behalf of the wife of the governor. And here I'm just nobody from nowhere. I climbed on the stage and I could only give glory to God for what he has done for me and how he has turned my life around. Listening, being obedient, sure makes the difference. However little you have, remember, that very young child, amongst the thousands, only had just a few loaves of bread and some few fishes. And Christ used it to turn around the situation of 5,000 people. God can turn around that very little thing you have in your hand that makes no sense right now into something that will be useful, not just for you, but for every other person and for the good of mankind. And I'm almost at the bottom of my story now. And the part of meeting my wife, that's another story. I'm just going to be very, very fast. It was a supernatural event as well, because I wasn't thinking about like getting married. I barely have enough to take care of myself at that point in time. But then it happened. God visited me again with another prophetic message. He told me he was going to take me on a trip, but he said before that trip happened, that I have to start praying for my spouse. I never prayed for getting a spouse because it was at the bottom of my list. But then I started praying. And then I remember, I think it was like some few months, I had a dream. In that dream, I saw my wife. I saw her in the church because she was actually attending the same church that I did. She just came at that point in time to get counsel from the pastor. She wasn't a member. But in the space of when I was doing my prayers, and I never knew that God was directing her to come to the church to meet me, she came to the church to seek counsel from the pastor. And here I was praying for a spouse. And I had a dream. I just saw her as someone who would always come around. I never took an interest in her in anything. And I had a dream. I saw my wife. I would tell you as much as I can remember. It was I was sitting in a hall, And all of a sudden, a door opened, and I saw my wife dancing all the way to me. I woke up from my sleep. I had cold sweat. I was like, okay, what is going on? I immediately understood the dream. But one thing is, I already made up my mind that I wasn't going to get married anytime soon. I wasn't going to get married in Nigeria. I had bigger plans in my head. But then I woke up and I was rebuking the dream. But I remember vividly the very sharp word of rebuke that came to my mind. What else would you want? And I kept my mouth shut. I went the next day. The next day, my pastor called me. And was like, he wants to have a word with me. And you know what? Out of two or more people, the word of God is confirmed. Could you believe this? When I reached my pastor's place, it took him a little bit of time before he could open up to me. He said, I want to tell you something, but I know it might be difficult, but I will say it because God has sent me to tell you this. And he told me virtually the same thing I had in my dream. And that was when I gave up. That was exactly the story of how I met my wife. It was a supernatural event as well. So those were the things that cemented my faith in Christ the more. I never knew God was working on my wife at that point in time. I never knew. God gave us the same verse of the scripture, Psalms 45. And the very day I got that scripture, I ran like a young kid to my pastor. I was like, I know the person I'm going to get married to. I never knew God gave my wife that same scripture as well. And when we started meeting and when we started sharing, we got to know how common, like the common things that God has shared with us about our future. And that was how we met. And then after a year, we got married in faith. We didn't have anything. My wife was working with the government. I was working on my nonprofit with nothing. But then we took the step in faith. We got married, and we believed that God said he was going to take us on a trip that we didn't even know. After a year, precisely a year, I got another prophetic message. Prepare for a trip, but pray that the Holy Spirit will quicken your heart because you might not take cognizance of what would come. I wasn't interested in going to school again. I've had my fair share of schooling, sincerely. It was the least of things in my mind. But at that point in time, I think it was that very week when I got the message. A friend of mine who I had not spoken to in a long time, we were not even friends from my university days, sent me a message on Facebook. It was at UBC. It came for an exchange program at UBC. He sent me a link, and it was a scholarship for young African leaders doing community works. And it was like, you know what? Apply, apply, apply. I didn't even talk to him yesterday. All of a sudden, he wanted me to apply. I applied to the program because I remember what God has said. I applied to the program, and the following year, April 2016, I got a call from UBC that I was admitted to study a master's program in international forestry, and also that I'd won a scholarship, MasterCard Foundation scholarship. It was a full ride scholarship, and that's exactly, I didn't pay for anything. They sent me all the money that I needed from Nigeria, everything, they catered for everything, and that was how we found ourselves in Canada. And it's been a journey. I must tell you, like I said again, my whole life is the Lord's doing, not a part of what I could have been able to achieve with my strength, but the strength of God has helped me and has helped my family up to this moment. And I will conclude with this. So we've all been through a lot, but with Christ, it makes sense as it turned our situation around so that we can in turn encourage others and bring many to the light of salvation through the hearing of our testimonies. However, a message of hope for every one of us going through a not so palatable period of life. I just want to encourage us all with this part of the scripture and the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is taken from the book of John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have conquered the world. This is an assurance that we are just going through a phase which has a definite end. Keep the faith and stay strong. Thank you so much.